Welcome to the ESBC Pulpit. ESBC Pulpit is a ministry of the Eastside Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee, and it's preaching that comes from the pulpit of Eastside Baptist Church. Welcome back once again to the ESBC Pulpit podcast. We're glad that you're back with us again today, and today we're going to hear a message from Pastor Finley Cutshaw that was actually preached at our Sunday morning service here at Eastside Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee, and it was a part of our 52-year celebration service. We had a great service. The Lord truly blessed with that. Pastor Cutshaw preached a message on how's your walk, and we as believers should be walking worthy of the Lord, and our walk should be indicate how our relationship with Him is. And he preaches on that subject, how's your walk? Now here's Pastor Finley Cutshaw.
Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter number 4. I know we have had a longer service than normal this morning, but that's okay. It's a special day, but I say that just for our guests, and we're glad to have you here today. Usually our services will be a little shorter than what today's is, but it's a special day, and I hope all of you will come back. It's great to see a lot of familiar faces returning, and then some new faces here today as well, and I thank God for that. We've had visitors pretty much every Sunday since we've moved to Bartlett, and that's a blessing. Let me mention one thing. I want to say thank you for your prayers. The funeral service for Miss Belinda Chipman went well. God gave me liberty, and the Lord blessed, and it was really, I think the service honored the Lord and was a blessing to the family. Please continue to pray for them. And then Miss Larissa, with the homegoing of her dad, they have not had a service yet. They're going to be doing basically a memorial service on his behalf a little bit later on. But y'all remember Miss Larissa in prayer. And so you're in Ephesians chapter 4, I trust. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1 is where I would like for you to be. Before I read the verse, I want to ask you a question. How is your walk with the Lord? How is your walk with the Lord? That's an interesting question. You got to think about it just a little bit, but it is an important question, and it's something that we need to consider. Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech or beg you that ye walk, what? What's that next word? Worthy. That ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, let me give you a simple way to understand that, the idea behind this vocation. Your job is to become more like Jesus Christ. Your job as a believer is to walk in the ways of God. Your job as a believer is to walk on this earth like Jesus walked on this earth. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about that for just a few moments this morning. That seems like an easy question to answer. The answer is certainly an important one. And really, in fact, we really maybe should start by asking it this way. Do you have a walk with the Lord? You know, somebody has well said, and it's a children's song, you know, you've heard this before. Your walk talks and your talk talks, right? You know that one? Say it with me. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did I say it right? But it's a great truth. We say those things for children, teach them little songs like that, but it's something that we as adult believers, grown-up believers, ought to understand and think about as well. When the Bible refers to our walk, it is talking about our manner of life. It is telling us that God expects us to live in a certain way and be headed in a certain direction. So let me ask you again, how is your walk with the Lord today? And as I said about our church, you can't do anything about the past. It's great to recognize it, great to learn from it, great to have the springboard of the past, so to speak, but you'll never walk a straight line looking backwards. One of the things they challenge racers on too, by the way, or they correct them when they do this, if a runner is looking back to see how close someone is behind them, they are losing ground. So our eyes need to be forward on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and we need to be walking in His direction. And I want to give you some things to think about concerning our walk, but you know, the Bible has so much to say about our walk. I want to share several verses with you. You won't be able to keep up turning to these. You can jot them down and maybe look at them later. But let me give you several Old Testament and a few New Testament verses concerning our walk. And this is one you'll be very familiar with. Genesis chapter 5, 22 through 24 says this, "And Enoch walked with God." You remember that? It's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible of a person walking with God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Now, one thing that I want you to take note of here is once he had a son and he knew that son would be watching him, I don't know if he was walking with God before, but the text tells us once he had a son, he walked with God. He wanted to make sure that that boy saw him walking in the right direction, walking with the right person. And it's something for us to take away from this today. It says, Methuselah, he walked with God after he had Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Guess what? All of us are leaving this world one day. I hope that our walk is already in the right direction and we're already trusting in the right person. We have a walk with God because of Jesus changing our lives so that when we're taken from this world, when our life comes to an end, we go home to be with God. That's what happened with Enoch. I believe it's a picture here, a type of the rapture of the church, which is the next event on God's prophetic timetable. I'm ready for the rapture to come today. Amen. But Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God in such a way that God simply took him to be with him in heaven. It's an astounding statement in Scripture, but the point is Enoch walked with God. Another famous Old Testament person, the Bible says in Genesis 6:9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Those two men right there at the beginning are men that are described as having a walk with God. Hebrews tells us that Noah is the father of righteousness, that faith walk with God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. And it tells us a little bit about this idea of walking with God. It says that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah's life was changed because he knew some things about God. And he moved with fear, the Bible says. And it says that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. If I have a faith that is anchored in Jesus Christ and I believe what God has said in his word, it's going to change the way I live in this world. Noah walked with God. On and on we could go. I'm going to skip a few for time's sake. Psalm 1:1, you know this text I'm sure well. It's been one of our memory verses or passages as a church family. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There are some people and places we're not supposed to be walking in. I can't help but think about the young man void of understanding in Proverbs 7 that went the way to her house. He walked by a place of great temptation. Listen, there are some places we should not walk as believers. I love Isaiah 40:31, and I think this verse fits our church very well today. In fact, the church has been around 50 plus years. I believe we need to hear this because we take off, man, it's like you're soaring with the eagles, and then you slow down to a run, and then finally, you know what? Life's all about maintaining a walk, you know? You can't fly forever and you can't run forever, but God expects us to keep walking. Isaiah 40:31, Bible says this, "They that wait upon the Lord," and boy, hadn't we learned to wait on the Lord? God has brought Eastside Baptist Church to a place of learning to wait. And I believe God still has some lessons of faith for us. He wants us to learn those. We have to depend on God, not on a bank account. Depend on God, not on our ability. Depend on God, not on a location. Depend on God, not on so many other things that we might depend on. We must wait on God. Our expectation must come from Him. And so He says here, Isaiah 40:31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall," what? "Renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." That word faint means basically to give up, to quit. And God does not want Eastside Baptist Church to do that. He doesn't want you as a believer to do that. He wants us to maintain a steady walk with God. That means moving forward. That means making progress. That means maintaining a direction in life. Isaiah 40:31. Amos 3:3 is a very informative verse. When you think about this, this is God speaking to his people. In those minor prophets, God was basically letting them know the hammer's about to come down. I mean, judgment is on its way, and you all need to understand one of the reasons that judgment's coming is because of the way that you have lived, as if you're not walking with me. And God says to the people there through the prophet Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? Is your life in agreement with God? Amos 3:3. Proverbs talks about the purpose of Proverbs. One is to give us a walk so that we do not walk in darkness, so that we walk in the ways of good men. Over and over in the Old Testament, we hear God directing his people, walk in his ways, walk before me, walk after the Lord. Just a couple of New Testament verses. And then the message will be brief because we're getting it from God's word already. But John 8:12, Jesus speaking there says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not what? Walk in darkness. You know, the Bible says wicked men walk on every side and they are walking in darkness. But you as a child of God should not be walking in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We know God's truth, and that affects what we believe and the way we live and how we walk and how we live in this world. Romans 6:4 says this, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ that was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should, what? Walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4, really it's talking about salvation there. We are identifying with Christ when we believe on him as our Savior. And at that moment, spiritually, we are buried with him in death and raised to walk in newness of life. That takes place actually before you get into the waters of baptism. These waters cannot save you. Then you get in them a dirty sinner and you come out a dirty sinner. But I want to tell you, when you trust Jesus Christ, his blood cleanses us from all sin. When that takes place, you ought to walk in newness of life. And then I'm reminded of Romans 13:13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day. Listen, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Boy, right off the bat, it's telling us there that we're supposed to be walking different than the world. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm looking forward, and I mentioned this Sunday at this week at the funeral, when we know Christ as our Savior. One of the first things that happens when we die is the realization of our faith. We see Jesus. We see face to face what we've only read about and thought about within our hearts. But right now, we must continue to walk by faith. And what does that mean? It means we live as if this is already reality. We live as if everything here in this book, we actually believe it. We live a life of faith. We walk by faith. And then Galatians 5:16, I say then walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And boy, all of us parents say amen to that, right? Paul got out of hand when he got to the book of Ephesians talking about our walk. Ephesians 4:1, we already read that verse at the beginning. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye, believers, that ye henceforth from this point forward, that ye walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He goes on the rest of that chapter to describe the changed life. There's a difference. And then Ephesians 5:2, we're admonished to walk in love as Christ walked in love. Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We could go on and on and on and on with verses about how we are supposed to walk. In fact, the Bible addresses this subject over 200 times. And I'm obviously talking about a walk with the Lord, a person that is a believer and how it ought to change their life. And so I want to give you just three things very quickly as we bring our thoughts to a close on this subject. First of all, your walk implies fellowship. Your walk implies fellowship. Go to Genesis 3 with me, if you would, real quick. Genesis 3. You and I ought to have a walk that gives evidence to the fact that we know the Lord. That's the point of this point. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. Adam and Eve have partaken of the fruit that God said no. This is the first sin among mankind on planet Earth. Satan had already sinned in heaven, but now we see sin moving into the world. This is why Romans 5:12 tells us that we're all born sinners because of our great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. And that sin curse flows through their bloodline, and we are all a part of that bloodline. He says, when they heard the voice, Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Notice that, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What did Adam do? He sinned. His sin separated him from God. God came down daily and spent time walking with man until one day man had disobeyed God. We call that the fall. It's something you're familiar with. But God has made a way to restore us to fellowship with God. He's made a way for us to be able to walk with Him. Go in your Bible to 1 John chapter 1 real quick here. 1 John chapter 1, your walk should imply fellowship with God. There should be evidence that you know God, that you have been born again, that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And folks, listen, if you don't have that, you will not have the kind of walk that God wants you to have in this world. You're not even in the race yet. You got to start by knowing Jesus. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, John writes these words, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. 1 John 1:3, we declare unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, listen, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. Listen, from all sin. Can I tell you that's where your walk begins? Does your walk imply that you have fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Every person in this room was born a sinner, and that sin will separate you from God for all eternity unless you come to Jesus Christ by faith. I had a great conversation with a man that's been visiting our church recently. He said, Pastor, I started coming to your church years ago, and I was coming just because I wanted God to make my life better. And he said, God had to break me. And I laid in my bed not long ago in January, and I wept and told God that I didn't have anything for Him, I couldn't do anything, but that I wanted Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. He came to a place where he finally realized he was a sinner separated from God on his way to hell, and no good deed that he could do would change that except for to trust in Christ alone for what He's already done for us. He was saved. He trusted in Jesus. Let me ask you, do you have a walk with the Lord today? Does it imply that you have fellowship with Jesus Christ? Secondly, our walk indicates direction. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 there, where he said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? My wife and I like to walk at the church. We try to do it every morning for her sake and mine, for our health. We walk in the gym there. We walk around and around. Actually, it's a square, isn't it? Or a rectangle. We do that over and over and over. You know what? We walk together. Sometimes she even lets me hold her hand. We don't walk in opposite directions. You know why? Because we're in fellowship with one another. We are in agreement. And I want to tell you, that's the way we're supposed to be with God. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. This means we will be going in the same direction as God, and listen, most of the time in the opposite direction of the world. Can I tell you, our mayor needs our prayers because of that? Those that are our elected officials that are saved need our prayers because of that. I want to tell you, they are open targets to Satan's attack, and they're constantly being told to kind of back off and stand down. The world in which we live, they want to throw this Bible in the garbage and make up their own rules. And can I tell you something? We as believers cannot allow that to be true in our lives. If we are going to be walking with God, our direction is going to be the same direction as God. And unfortunately, that means we're going to be walking in the opposite direction as the world. Are you walking in that direction? Ephesians 4:17 again comes to mind. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You're walking differently, not in darkness, but in light. You walk in truth. You walk in obedience. The manner of your life is going to be different than it was before you got saved. And maybe you got saved as a young person. If that's the case, it may not be so different, but it will be different than the world. We walk in a certain direction. What direction is your walk taking you? Does your walk agree with the world, or does it agree with the Word of God? Number three, our walk can illustrate faithfulness, and it should. Our walk is going to illustrate either faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Will you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? I told you I'd be brief. This may be a record today. We'll see. I'll go back and watch this service and see how long I preached. Our walk can illustrate faithfulness. We see this clearly in the life of Enoch and Noah in the Old Testament. You know, those men lived a long time. Noah lived longer than Enoch. Noah went through a whole lot, but how was his life? It was a walk of faithfulness to God. We can look at his life now and see an example. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12 here, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured." Can I tell you, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to endure some persecutions. "But out of them all," listen, "the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." What was Paul saying to Timothy? Paul's coming to the end of his life. Not long after this, he's actually martyred for his faith. He is put to death by Roman rulers because of his faith in Christ. And Paul is telling Timothy, "Timothy, you can look at my life. I've been faithful to walk with God. You've known my life, my manner of life, the way I've lived, my doctrine. You've seen me." And Timothy, guess what? You can follow in those steps. Paul was an example of faithfulness. Can we say that? Is our walk an example of faithfulness? We have one Old Testament example that I'll mention that was the opposite, at least for a short time. Some of you maybe have already thought about this, but unfortunately, King David, one of the greatest men to ever live, I believe in the Bible, had a time when he took his eyes off of the Lord, and he was an example of not being faithful at that time. The Bible talks about his sin with Bathsheba and all that it led to. It says in 2 Samuel 12:14, "Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." Paul's life of faithfulness gave occasion to people to look at it and say, "There's something different about that man." And most of the time David's life did that as well. But on this occasion, his choices, because he stopped walking with the Lord, his choices caused him to be an example of unfaithfulness, and it gave the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme. You know, I don't think David stepped out that day and just said, "Today's the day I'm going to become an adulterer and later a murderer." No, I think David probably began to wane in his faithfulness to the Lord. He didn't have time for his Bible reading. He started missing the time down at the temple that he so often had done. I would imagine he stopped writing those beautiful psalms and maybe even stopped listening to them or singing them himself. I imagine David didn't have time for his Bible, and it all kind of built up, and his walk got off course. And he ended up committing an awful sin. But you know what? There's a blessing. We read in Psalm 32, and Lord willing, we'll see that this Wednesday night, how David made things right with God. You see, when your walk gets off course, God allows course corrections. And He is ever willing and ready to bring you back in line and allow you to start your walk the right way again. Listen, it's not starting over. This is day one. I heard somebody say that the other day, and I thought, that's a great way to look at it, you know. It's better to start with day one, even if you do it 10 times every day until you take off and you get to day two, amen. But listen, today can be day one if your walk needs to be restored. God loves you. He hasn't given up on you, and He wants your walk to be one that is an example for Him. David confessed that sin and got right with God and got back on track. And when he finished his life, he finished it as a life of faithfulness to the Lord. You're going to have your failures, but you don't have to wallow in them. When we fall down as children, when we're learning to walk, we fall down, and what do? We get up. Sometimes parents, they can't wait for their kids to start walking, you know. And then after they walk them, they put them in a pen so they can't walk too far, right? And so, you know, when we're learning to walk, and sometimes when people go through an accident, you think about this. You've known some people like this who've had to learn to walk again. I may be talking to somebody in this room that needs to learn to walk with God again. God desires that walk with you. How is your walk? Our walk is obviously extremely important. As we close, I want to ask you that question again. How is your walk with the Lord today? Do you have a walk with the Lord? Does your manner of life imply that you have fellowship with God? If not, that can change today. It begins by putting your faith and trust in Christ if you need to do that. That's where this all begins. We don't have the strength, we don't have the ability to walk for the Lord in this world without Jesus. And so it begins with Jesus. And then I want to ask you this, or mention this. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:1. If someone in this room began to follow your life, and trust me, there are people following your life, where would it lead them? Where would it lead them? Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ." How is your walk with the Lord today? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful service today. It's all been wonderful. But God, as we come to this time of invitation, a time really of decision, whether people walk the aisle or not, Lord, I believe they can make decisions where they're seated that can make a difference in their life. The mayor said it earlier, it's not about just what happens here, but what happens out there when we leave this place. And I pray that we would make decisions today that would either continue our walk and strengthen it, or Lord, perhaps even to begin a walk with you, or to return to walking with you. You know the need of every heart, and I pray today that the Holy Spirit of God would have His way during this invitation. In all reality, Lord, nothing else that's happened today matters more than this moment as we decide how the Spirit of God is working in our hearts, and we choose to obey, to respond, or to ignore and disobey. Please have your way today. I pray this in Jesus' name.